Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today I have the pleasure of having a mother and a daughter who are both Reiki masters, and their one's husband and one's father is also a Reiki master. So there are not just one, not just two, but three Reiki masters in the same family. So it's a fascinating story, and I hope to have them share what that's like for them in their daily lives. So this is Elsa and Alina van der Heijden. I hope I pronounced that right.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Great. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Phyllis.
Thank you, Phyllis.
They live in the Netherlands, in the very, very north part of the Netherlands, and I've known both of them for quite a long time. Of course, I always ask, how did you meet Reiki? And I'm interested to hear how your stories intertwine. So who was the first to know about Reiki in your family?
Well, that's quite a remarkable story. I also already had a practice in Touch for Health, and at a certain moment I had a client, and after her session, when it was over, she asked me, "Do you know about Reiki?" And I said, "No, I've read sometimes a little thing in a book, but that was all." And then she put me, she put me on my treatment table, and she put her hands on my body, and afterwards she tells me something, and I was amazed. And she wanted to tell me more, but I said, "Well, go to my living room. There's my husband, Wim. And then you can tell it to him also." And when we both heard about Reiki, we want to do it, to follow a class.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, we told Elina, our daughter, about Reiki, and that we want to do a class. And she was excited to do it also.
Yeah, you called me and you talked about this thing that I'd never heard of. And then I remember that you gave me some kind of explanation. But I also remember that this was somewhere before the summer, and the class was in September.
Yes.
And I kept wondering all summer, what is it that I'm going to do in September? And everybody that I asked about it, they hadn't heard about Reiki, because this was in 87,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
87.
Yeah.
And when were the first classes taught in
September.
The Netherlands?
84.
84.
Yeah.
Yes. So it was just beginning.
So, but then during the class, this was really my first aware experience of Reiki. My dad had gotten his first initiation and came out of the room, and he put his hands on my back and he said, "Can you feel this?" And I was like, "Wow, you have very warm hands." And that is a very special memory, because I can almost still feel it.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you all three were in the same class?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. In September of 1987.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So then you practiced? Did you practice together a lot?
Yes, well, after the class, in the evening, after the first class, you know, in the evening I have another daughter, and, she wants a treatment. So, Wim, Elina and I give her a treatment, and, it was wonderful for her. And it was so wonderful for us to do that. So that was our first experience.
That's
in the
beautiful.
Family.
Wow,
yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So how did the class go then? So you, did you have any other interesting experiences while you were all in the class?
About ourselves?
Yeah.
I could tell something about my husband.
Well, he's not here, so he should be presenced by a story, don't you think so? That's a good idea.
It was the first part was in Friday evening, the second Saturday morning, and that afternoon we went together to the woods.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw that Wim was quite different. He was so happy and so amazing look in his face. It was if he was very young again. It was wonderful.
That's so typical though, isn't it, of Reiki? Fantastic.
So that was the first experience that I and Elina saw in Bin.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. So obviously you loved Reiki.
Oh yeah.
So you took second degree right away?
The next year.
The next year.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Great.
All three together.
All three together again.
I got another call from my mom. She said, you know, there is going to be a second degree class near where we live. Do you want to come? And I was like, yeah, I feel like I'm ready. So off we went, the three of us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it, again, it was so special to do that together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody I knew would take classes with their parents.
Really? I mean, it's a little unheard of in the United States. I guess people do it, but I think that in the Netherlands, one of the things that I was really struck by when I first came here was, number one, the size of the families, mm-hmm. and number two, the closeness of the families, mm-hmm. like literally
physically
close. Yeah. Like, it's very usual for children to settle somewhere like within 10 or 15 mm-hmm. kilometers mm-hmm. of the parents. So you have these huge families, like I'm talking 6, 7, 12, 14 children mm-hmm. in your day, mm-hmm. Elsa, and then our generation or Alina's generation is more like 5 and 6 kids. But then it seemed like if three people, for instance, in one family received Reiki, then the next time there were 12 people of that same family, mm-hmm. and then the next time there were like 15 people.
Uh-huh.
And I have a friend of mine who says that when they used to get together with her mother and father and their brothers and sisters and their children, it was like 160 people.
Oh, my.
Yeah, because one had 12 children and the other had 10. And then they all had kids. And then they all had kids. I mean, it's a lot of people.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a kind of an exponential factor here.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So relatively, your family was small if you had two daughters.
Yeah, very small. Very small.
But nevertheless, you were a family affair.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Yeah. So you took second degree and then...
And then, on a certain moment, I was up in the north from Sweden, together with my husband, and he was in the mountains, and I was in the caravan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, caravan.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
And I did a meditation, and at a certain moment, I knew for sure that I want to be a master. And when Wim came back to the caravan, and to me, of course, I didn't tell him that directly. I waited a certain moment, and then I said to him, well, Wim, I want to tell you, I want to be a master. And he said, that's special, I want to be a master too.
Did you suspect it at all?
I didn't expect it. No. So I thought, oh dear. Not that he want a master and I want a master, but to pay the money at a certain moment.
Right. Well, there's always the practical consideration.
Yes, so it was. And we have chosen the same master. Uh-huh. So we did the education till the master mm-hmm. together.
Wow.
And that was wonderful.
That's beautiful.
That was beautiful. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And at a certain moment, there was the initiation, and our daughter Elina was with us.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And it was near the sea, near the ocean.
Mm.
It was special too.
Yeah.
And our other daughter, who always want to receive treatments, but she has not Reiki herself, was with her thoughts with us.
Uh-huh.
You understand?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So that was at the end of 1990.
1990.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then.
Yeah.
It came.
Yeah. Well, just another little question.
Yes.
You know, sometimes when people are initiated as masters, it seems that there's a great life change or something, and it seems like in your story that your changes were very smooth and peaceful. And
it goes like a stream, like the flow, you know.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah,
it's really wonderful to know that there are some people whose life hasn't been turned upside down by Reiki.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Well, good to hear. It really is inspiring and very hopeful for others of us who have experienced the great upheavals and mm-hmm. so on. So before we get to Alina's story, I'm going to just talk a little bit, and then we're going to take a station break and come back. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back with Elsa, the mother, and Alina, the daughter, as soon as we come back from our station break.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki in relation to religion, other disciplines, the government, mainstream medicine, you'll find the information in articles that appear bi-monthly in Reiki Magazine International.
Sharings, experiences, and questions from all over the world.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to ReikiMagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
ReikiMagazine.com.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Almeen for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's Seventh Wave Network. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
The last great frontier is the magnificent mystery of the mind. Abundant evidence demonstrates that we have far more talents than we realize, and that our minds are exceptional instruments we can learn to use more fully, just as we'd learn to play a piano or a clarinet. Tune in to the music of your mind, Living the Extraordinary, Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network, and learn more about how you can hear the wonderful music of your mind.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life, whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office. Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing broadcasts each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis with Furumoto, with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I just got very excited because Elsa has told the story of she and her husband Wim's initiation story, and now we're going to hear from Elsa and, Alina, and find out how she got involved in becoming a Reiki master.
Well, I kept on practicing Reiki, mostly on myself, a little bit on my family, on my close family, and then at a certain moment I knew that I wanted to be a Reiki master. And it was a little bit hard for me to admit that to myself because I actually didn't see myself teach a class. And once I realized that that was holding me back, then I could say, okay, but I can learn that. I mean, other people have learned it, so I will probably be able to do that too.
So you didn't mind teaching classes, but you just couldn't imagine yourself teaching.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Because you were shy? Or?
Yeah.
shy, I see.
Yeah. So they were initiated in December, and half a year later I was initiated as a Reiki master.
Wow.
Yeah.
And were you also initiated by the same master?
No.
No?
No, no. We're first and second degree. We had the same masters, and third degree we chose. I made another choice.
How did that feel to you? Just kind of in principle. Was that, you just followed your heart, would you say?
Yeah. I felt very clearly that I had to make my own choice. Well, I made my own choice with the first and second degree as well, but my choice was another person, so... Uh-huh. That was just very clear to me. Yeah.
So have you taught then since you've been initiated as a master?
Yeah.
I mean, that was ages ago. But
yeah, I have. Not a lot. But I have taught classes. And I think my path as a Reiki master is much more about interpretation than it is about teaching classes. Or so it looks like.
Yeah. So, say a little bit more about this interpretation.
Yeah. Well, it started at the second Alliance conference that I attended. I was asked to interpret because I was a translator of Swedish, so naturally I could interpret from English, or so it was said to me, and I thought, interesting. I've never done that. I don't know if my knowledge of English is sufficient. Will I be able to say the right words in the right moment, know the right words in the moment? Will I be able to understand what people say? But then I thought, okay, my English is at least a little bit better than the English of those that don't speak any English at all, so
Definitely. Let's
give it a try. And so I did. And that was sort of the start of my path within the path. It's something that I've been doing at many conferences and gatherings ever since, and it's a challenging experience for me, because all the questions that I had the first time have stayed with me for a long time, and the shyness was there also, you know, that I spoke of before. But I've learned a lot, and I've grown a lot, and it's much easier now than it was back then, 15 years ago, or what was it?
Yeah. Can you describe the process of interpretation in the sense of allowing the energy to flow? Or is it a physical feeling, actually?
It can be. Yeah, sometimes it is. My intention is always to open myself up for the speaker and say the words that they would have said if they had spoken Dutch, so the same content but also the same energy. And sometimes if their words carry a lot of energy, I can feel that in my body, which sometimes is confusing because I'm not always sure whether it is my own thing that I'm feeling or whether it's someone else's feeling that I'm feeling. And it's it's a very special thing, because, you know, it teaches me about connecting with someone else, and I feel that by doing this, my capacity to feel compassion with people has grown tremendously, simply because I make the connection with someone and I somehow know where they're coming from when they're speaking. And then judgments that I might have had, they just are gone.
Oh, just like doing a Reiki treatment.
Right.
How interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, I've said this, and I know that you also have said this too, that Reiki is part of the spiritual journey sometimes. And I'm wondering what you mean by that. If you said that, I'm tired.
Interpretation
is a part of your spiritual path. And I don't know, I'm wondering if you can describe what that means.
That's not an easy question, but a very interesting one. It feels like the process that I just described giving me the opportunity to experience things that are bigger than me, in a way. And I get to embody Reiki in a very different way by interpreting for people who talk about Reiki. And this is it's actually very hard to give words to that. It's like, you know, describe what a Reiki treatment is like, and that's hard to give words to too.
Also, yes.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I've really myself have had the pleasure of working with Alina for many years and under many stressful circumstances, and I really appreciated her ability to do this job and do it well.
Thank you.
And it's amazing that you are so shy and at the same time really willing to be I don't know if go-between is quite the right word, but
Well, you know, it's not just that I'm willing. It's also something. It feels like a calling.
Uh-huh.
It's something that I simply have to do when the question is asked. Would you be willing to do? And then I could not. But it's hard to imagine saying no, because there's something that simply, you know, in me that is not in my my brain or wherever. It's something that in me that wants to do that. That needs to do that, I would say.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I never knew that.
Well, that is how it feels like.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes I even wonder myself, why am I doing this? Because it requires a lot of attention, a lot of focus, and sometimes the energy is so present that it's hard to stay focused. And I mean, I have to go with the flow of the group where I'm interpreting, and sometimes this can be very crazy, almost, I'd say.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I really think, why am I doing this? What in me is it that wants to do that? But then there's other moments when I so clearly feel like, yeah, I'm going with this flow, and it's in a way nourishing me. And then I know, yeah, this is why I'm doing it.
Good.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And Elsa, you're often at these gatherings. So what
is
it like for you to, you know, to sit and hear your daughter speak languages and transfer energy? And
well, for me, not only as a mother, but I speak now as a mother, it's wonderful to hear and to feel her being at that moment when she is sitting there, and it goes. I see sometimes in a way that the energy flows through her, I love to hear her. For me also, it feels that she has found her way of expression in the Reiki community.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And what about your way of expression? Do you teach?
I teach. Oh yes, I love to teach. Oh yeah.
And have the three of you ever taught a class together?
No, but Elina and I did a class together.
Yeah.
Once upon a time with children, and that was wonderful.
Yeah.
And mostly I do a class together with my husband Wim. And for me that is a gift to do it together. Before Reiki, and the start was not, no, that I have to
erase.
Yes.
Okay, we start again.
Yeah. Of course, we have, each of us, Wim and I, have our own job. We did have our own job. And now to do this together in this part of our life is wonderful. So that we... I feel that we have still more connection because of doing this.
Yeah, well, it's time for a station break, so I'm going to very quickly say, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back with Alina and Elsa in just a few moments.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Ladies, are you looking for a place where you can talk candidly about anything and everything? Well, here it is. Timeless Women Speak on the Voice America Women's Channel. We'll talk about sexuality, age-proofing your career, finding your passion and purpose, keeping your brain power, keeping your marriage fresh, dating for grown-ups, plastic surgery, surviving our beauty culture, and much more. Tune in Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific to Timeless Women Speak with Dr. Nancy O'Reilly on the Voice America Women's Channel.
Carrie O'Connor has a powerful and extraordinary connection with spirit. This connection has honed and perfected her astounding clairvoyant abilities. Carrie can energetically view your personal life history, observe your true inner processes, and help attune and direct your soul's purpose. Carrie's dedicated mission is to remind you of your divine heritage, to help you step out of your stories and step into your power. Tune in to the Carrie O'Connor Show every Thursday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific on the Seventh Wave Network.
Improve your spiritual well-being and experience a new way of looking at spirituality and wellness. Tune into Spiritual Evolution with spiritual counselor, healer, and animal communicator, Kelly Marie. Each week, Kelly and her guests explore spiritual problem solving and connecting balance between the body and spirit. Spiritual Evolution with Kelly Marie, broadcast every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spiritual Evolution, expanding the boundaries and broadening the vision of spirituality through inspiration and education.
Reiki in relation to religion, other disciplines, the government, mainstream medicine, you'll find the information in articles that appear bi-monthly in Reiki Magazine International.
Sharings, experiences, and questions from all over the world.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to ReikiMagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
ReikiMagazine.com.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today we have a mother and a daughter from the Netherlands, Elsa and Alina, and Wim, who is Elsa's husband and Alina's father, also is a Reiki master. And I'm now going to ask, did being initiated into Reiki change something in the essence of your relationship together as parents or as a couple together and as parents and a daughter? And or were your relationships stable before and then they just stayed the same? I'm just curious, because many times when children and parents are initiated in Reiki together, there's some process that happens between them.
Mm. Yeah, I cannot say that there is there was an exciting process.
Mm-hmm.
No. It was, well, perhaps I can tell you, Phyllis, what Wim, my husband, just told me on the phone.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. I asked him, I told him about this interview, and I asked him, what, if Phyllis asked you, what is it for you to be a master in the family together with your daughter and your wife? He said, oh, that's quite normal. Quite normal. It went as it went, you know? That was his answer. And it's, for me, it's an extra, for we can talk together about the issues of to be a master, of
mm-hmm.
what we, what our experience is, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wonderful. The other one understands us.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
beautiful.
It's on the same level to Elina, to Wim. For
uh-huh.
me, it's this.
So you sort of forget about your familial
yes.
relationship and then your colleagues.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That would be a fantastic and sometimes challenging, I would say, shift in a relationship, because sometimes it's really great to be a daughter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she can be a daughter
at
certain moments, of course. When it's necessary, of course.
But you two come to events a lot together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So when you do, is this confusing at all or just normal?
It's not confusing. It's normal. And it's a gift, of course.
It's a gift. Amazing. Well, I asked when I asked Elena about coming on the show, I asked her, well, how does it feel? She said, normal.
she said that too.
Yeah, she said that too. So the three of you agree.
Wonderful.
Great. Yeah. So do you have an experience or a story that you would like to share with our listening audience in your Reiki life together?
Well, what I would like to share, what I'm thinking of right now, is that because Elsa and I travel a lot together, it has deepened our relationship a lot.
Yes.
I mean, you know, when we first did Reiki, it was very clear that you were my mom and I was the daughter, and that sometimes we would have these mother-daughter things that were not so, that were a little uncomfortable. And because we travel a lot, we got to work them out. We just had to work them through because, you know, that was the only way we could become the colleagues that Elsa just said we are.
Yeah.
And I think that's very special.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. To be, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The way we are together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's special, too, for me.
Beautiful. So do you... So you haven't taught together. I just thought that might be kind of a really strange but interesting idea to the three of you teach together at some point.
Yeah.
Have you thought about it, doing that?
No. A new idea.
Yeah.
Oh.
We might have to try it someday.
It's possible.
Possible. And do you do treatments together?
Oh,
I mean, not just on yourselves, but on other people that come in?
Oh, yes.
So you and Vim basically work more together than the three of you together.
We live in one house.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
Of course, a point.
Yes, it is. And your touch for health, do you still do that?
Well, that's a very small part of what I'm doing. Mostly I work with counseling with people and Reiki. Not at the same time, you know, but yes, I do that.
So when you do counseling, do you sometimes... I know in the United States, I have had some students and also some colleagues who are therapists, and what they like doing is giving their clients a little bit of Reiki before they start the treatments, the counseling session. So you do that? And do you have them sit in a chair or do you lay them on a couch?
When I treat them?
On a Reiki
table. I lay
them
on a Reiki table.
Yes?
I give them a whole treatment.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's lucky for them.
Yeah.
And then, so you give them a whole treatment, and then you do a counseling session.
Yeah. And sometimes otherwise. And I can't say why I feel what I have to do. So, first.
Would you say that Reiki guides you then in this way?
Yeah, I can say that. You can say that. Sorry, I can say that.
Yeah.
So we can say that together.
Fascinating. Yeah. Because the people that I know might give their clients like maybe 10 or 15 minutes sitting in a chair or something.
Yeah.
So giving a whole treatment is an interesting idea.
Feels good for me. to do.
Yeah. And does Vim use Reiki in his work too? Sorry, Vim, that you're not here because we're talking about you, but I feel like it's a great, you're a great presence.
Yes, so it is. Well, he nowadays works only with Reiki.
So he does treatments and...
Yeah, he does treatments, gives classes and...
And you do you do that mostly in your home or do you, do you
mostly
travel?
Mostly in our home. In the past we travel more than nowadays.
And do you do more than first and second degree classes? Do you have like reviews or special classes for older students, for students that have been with you for a long time?
Not special classes, but special evenings. And we also, but it has nothing to do with Reiki, perhaps. we give counseling to partners.
And when you do that, do you feel like there's Reiki involved in your...
Of course.
So do you ever like send distant treatments to the session before it happens?
Oh yes, I did.
And do your clients know that you do this?
I beg your pardon?
Do your clients know that you use Reiki in your sessions?
I told them.
Yeah, you tell them. Great.
Yeah.
Well, that's really interesting. I mean, it's a fascinating idea to have a counseling session with a husband and wife or couples.
Yes.
And
You know, Phyllis, that people like it for it's a man and a woman who are talking with them. So there's more balance. When we have two women or two men, well, then they accept us too. So, you understand?
You mean the couples?
Yes.
And do you find that you fall into the... there's a lot out these days about... men who don't ask directions and women who can't read a map, this kind of feminine masculine difference of how to see the world. Do you know what I'm speaking about?
No, that's what I want to ask you.
Let's see. There is a kind of movement or something, I would say, about... that men are a certain way because of their gender and women are a certain way because of their gender. And in theory, I guess, it's good to just accept those differences instead of fighting about it. That would be
it
in a nutshell.
I agree with you. Oh, yeah, now you understand. Agree with you.
Sorry, I wasn't very clear. And so do you find that in your counseling sessions that you take the same dimension of male, female?
Dimension is?
The same, what should I say, theme? About men being...
Oh, yes. That's my lack of English that I didn't understand.
No, it's my also my lack of clarity. So, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back in just a few moments.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki Magazine International has readers in over 40 countries worldwide. Reiki Magazine International is respectful and open towards every Reiki school or lineage.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to ReikiMagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
ReikiMagazine.com.
Improve your spiritual well-being and experience a new way of looking at spirituality and wellness. Tune into Spiritual Evolution with spiritual counselor, healer, and animal communicator, Kelly Marie. Each week, Kelly and her guests explore spiritual problem solving and connecting balance between the body and spirit. Spiritual Evolution with Kelly Marie, broadcast every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spiritual Evolution, expanding the boundaries and broadening the vision of spirituality through inspiration and education.
Being here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss being here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Magic is happening right here and right now. Miracles are yours just for the asking. You already set the magic in motion when you made your wish or said that prayer. Now Melanie Kalitri Holden is here to help, along with all the other angels on earth. Together, we will remember who we really are, divine beings at play. Join Melanie for all the fun and magic every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, for the asking, broadcasting live on the Seventh Wave Network.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today we have a family of Reiki Masters, and I have two in the family, Elena and Elsa. And one of the things that I really wanted to get into this interview, which we're going to do now since this is the last segment, is Elsa, a few years ago, had some heart trouble, and eventually she had a pacemaker put in. And I'm wondering, can you just tell me a little bit about that? And I'd love to hear the story.
Oh, yes, sounds it great. Was in 2001 that I received a pacemaker. And years ago, I've learned that it was not possible to treat a pacemaker.
Right.
And you had to be very, far away from that thing. But when I received the pacemaker, I want to put my hand on it. So I wrote a letter to you, Phyllis.
Yes.
Tell you that I want to, and I already did sometimes, that I want to put my hand on it. And you answer was, you have to follow your feeling, your heart in that, you know. And for me, it was so wonderful and so good to do that. And I do it since then very often. But sometimes, it's in a way it hurts me. It's very to the side of my body that it's put in. So when I lie down on that side, it hurts.
Uh-huh.
And it was not so long ago, 1.5 years, that I received my second pacemaker. So that one was put out, it was done, it was finished, and I received another one.
What do you mean that yes. it was finished? Did yeah, it, does the, it wear out?
Yeah, the battery was...
The battery was gone?
Yeah.
And they just changed the whole pacemaker?
Yes, but not the connection with my heart.
Oh, I see, which is yes. the delicate part.
Yeah.
They just the unplug the yeah. device and plug yeah. another one in?
Yeah. So
oh, that's...
Make it open, my body on a different
yeah. place.
Place, and put the first one out and the second one in. But, well, I...
Was that common, that the battery went out?
Oh, yeah, that's normal.
That's normal,
that's
and it happens
normal.
Every
5 to 8 years. If it's not so very off, it depends on how hard the battery has to put energy to the heart.
Uh-huh.
So when it has to work a lot, the time is shorter to receive another one.
Uh-huh.
So, but I always give... Also the place where the battery, where the pacemaker is,
uh-huh.
Reiki, and my heart too.
Uh-huh.
I do what I feel that's necessary.
Uh-huh. And you've never had any, we should say, bad results
no.
from that?
No. No. For when I feel myself better afterwards,
uh-huh.
then it's okay.
Yeah.
Then it's good.
Yeah.
So I'm very glad with your answer. At that moment, for I was not quite sure if I did the right thing.
Uh-huh.
In 2001. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But how is it to how is it for you, Elena, to have your mother go into the surgery? That must have been pretty scary.
Yeah, it was very scary because, you know, a heart condition, that's more scary than a broken bone.
Yeah, for sure.
So
did you all treat her before she went into surgery? I would imagine.
Yeah, I feel like that's one of the really great gifts of Reiki, that, you know, when someone that is close to you has a problem, whatever kind of problem, you can actually do something. You don't need to stand by and can only watch. You can put your hands in and send
uh-huh.
Reiki, which we did a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this great controversy about sending Reiki in operating rooms, and at this point I just tell people, well, you know, if the person wants it and the doctor is okay with it, then seems like it's an seems like you should just do it and see what happens. So did you send Reiki to Elsa while she was in the operating room?
I'm not sure if I did it while she was in the operating room, but I know I remember doing it on the same day
when maybe she was in recovery
or beforehand. And, I mean, when she was in recovery, we got to see her, and then I could simply put my hands on her. That
wow.
was very easy,
yeah.
so...
Yeah. You sat there, you were sitting there for hours.
I was?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, and the first time when I have to get a pacemaker, I said, can it be soon? For I have to go to a conference in Mexico. And there was a doctor later came to me and he said, what kind of a conference do you want to go? And I said, a Reiki conference. And in that year, in the autumn, she did a class in my
wow.
house. Yeah.
So was she your surgeon?
No.
She was just a doctor.
She was a doctor in
the
head.
What how amazing. How
yeah.
sweet.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and I, of course, I sent Reiki the first time also and the second time also to the
operation.
Uh-huh. But when I was waiting for my first operation, I saw myself going in a movement in a kind of a bed, but I knew at that moment it goes well.
You just have the feeling.
Yeah, I have the feeling. And it takes a long time, that operation. Mm-hmm. You were in the hospital, and my husband and my other daughter were there too. But it takes a long time for it. And there has to be another doctor to help, for it isn't going so very easy. But that's in the past. And I'm so happy that I still have my hands to put my hands on the pacemaker, on my heart. Wherever I want, I can do it.
Well, that's great, because I know that lots of people have had this question. So this is one experience.
Yeah.
And because in Reiki, we often somehow attract people to us that have the same kind of situation.
Yeah.
Have you had other students? And
No.
I just wondered if you happen to have a flock of pacemaker people.
No.
<come to you.
laughs> No. But I have nurses in the classes, and of course I tell them about it. So that they know.
Right. Well, that's great. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, we're at the end of our interview, ladies.
Wow.
Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Phyllis.
Thank you. And for you listeners, it's just normal.
Yes.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network, and discover how you can find balance from within.